Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Anybody remember that movie? Okay, cool. All right, well, here's the deal. Things are about to get awkward, ready? Because there is something that I know about you. And you don't know I know it about you, but I know it about you. Here's what I know. What I know is that deep down in places that you do not like to talk about or even acknowledge, there is this longing in you for joy, like to just be happy. And you have this deep need for, like, I don't know, like an inner peace kind of thing, where it's like, you know what, things can be going wrong out here, but still, I'm okay. And I know that deep down, you have this drive that you just want meaning. Like you want life to have purpose and for you to have some fulfillment, right? And I know that about you because it's true of me as well. Here's the thing I know that you may not know. I know where to find it. Like those questions that we wrestle with of, like, how do I find joy and why do things always seem to be wrong and how do I find meaning and purpose in life? I know where to find it. And the answer is in a relationship with God. Like you and I, we were made for a relationship with God. We were made to have God pour his love into our lives, and it fills all those holes and those cracks and crevices in our hearts and in our souls. But no, I said a relationship with God. Right? We don't find joy and meaning and purpose and peace by believing in God. I think a lot of people say, yeah, I believe in God, but I still have all those issues and those problems and the emptiness. Or man, I go to church and I'm here every week, but I still have... Yeah, because it's not from believing in God or going to church. It's from having a relationship with God, a real, authentic, everyday, like vital relationship in which God's pouring his love into your life. And so the question is, how do you do that, right? How do you have a relationship with God? Not how do you believe in God, but how do you actually have a daily, real, vibrant relationship with God? How does God pour his love into your life? And a big, big part of the answer is prayer. It's prayer. Prayer is not something you just, you know, kind of write your Santa Claus wish list of God, here's what I want, and it's not something we just do in emergencies. Prayer is how we live in a relationship with God. It's how God, it's kind of the conduit that God pours his love into us. And so today, we're going to start a few-week series on prayer, and it's going to be good. Today, we're taking kind of a prayer for dummies approach and say, man, let's just talk about the basics, because a lot of us are new to this God thing and church and spirituality, and so let's just make sure we understand just the basics of prayer. What should we be praying about, and who do we pray to, and if you have more of a history with this, it'll be a great refresher for you. And then the next few weeks, we're going to hit some kind of more challenging, deeper topics that will make you think, even if you've been praying for a long time. So I thought the place we should start is, what is prayer? Like really, what is it? And I love what this one author said. His name is Richard Foster, and he writes about prayer. He studies prayer in the Bible, and he's kind of devoted his life to this. And he says this. He says, an overwhelming love invites a response. He says, love is the syntax of prayer. And he says, to be more effective prayers, we need to be more effective lovers. And I think he's got it. Really, if you want to improve your prayer life, you need to improve your love life, because prayer doesn't come from gritting our teeth and I'm going to focus on God, I'm going to spend some time on God. Prayer comes through falling in love. It's what prayer is. Prayer is love. It's a conversation between lovers. It's a sharing of heart. It's where I kind of pry myself open. I pry my heart open, and I just pour myself out to God. And then I keep myself open and allow God to pour himself into me. I love what a Christian from ages ago, but he's kind of famous and wrote some special books and whatever. His name is Augustine. And his definition of prayer was this. He said, true prayer is nothing but love. He said, true whole prayer is nothing but love. There's a There's a pastor kind of guy named Brennan Manning. He writes books and stuff, but he lives down in New Orleans. And one day he got this phone call from a lady, and she said, "Hi, is this Brennan Manning?" He said, "Yeah." She said, "You don't know me, and I hope it's okay that I called you. Here's the deal. I'm sorry. My father is dying. Right, he's actually in the bedroom next to me right now, but like he's got almost no time left. And I just thought like he should talk to a minister, a pastor, before he dies. And somebody told me about you and gave me your phone number. I hope it's okay that I called. I was just curious, would you be willing to just spend a few minutes with him? I think it would be really good for him." And Brian Mann said, "I'd be glad to do that, absolutely." And so they set up a time for him to come over. And he got there, knocked on the door. She opened the door and said, "Thank you so much for doing this. He's in the back bedroom. I can bring you back there." And pointed at the door and said, "Just go in. He's going to love this. Thank you." And so Brian Mann walks in. And there's this guy laying in bed, and he's like obviously very old and near death, and there's an empty chair sitting next to him. So Brennan Manning says, "Hey," he says, I see you're expecting me," points to the empty chair. And the guy says, "No, who are you?" And Brennan Manning said, "Oh, I'm sorry, your daughter called me, Brennan Manning, I'm a pastor, she thought you'd want to talk to me." And the guy said, "Oh yeah, she'd mentioned that, yeah, I'm sorry, come on in. And he said, "Do you want to sit down?" He said, "Sure." And so he says, "I am so glad you're here. I really need to talk to you." And he said, "Okay." And he said, "I have this question that I've been asking for years. Maybe you could answer it for me." And Brian Mann said, I can try. And the guy said, "How do I pray? How do I pray? For years I've wanted to pray." And he said, "Actually, I went to church like years ago. And I asked the pastor there after the service, I said, how do I pray?" And he said, "Oh, let me get you a book." And he went to his study and he brought back this big book. And I brought it home. He said, "Just honestly, I'm not a very educated man. And I start reading the book and I don't know a lot of the words. And so I'm looking them up. And I just got lost. And after like two or three pages, I gave up. And so I just continued not to pray because I didn't know how." And he said, "Then one day I was at work, and it was lunch break." He said, I did construction for years. I was at the construction site, and one of my coworkers, a guy named Joe, were talking, and he mentioned that he went to church. And I said, "You're a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, maybe you could answer my question. For years I've wanted to pray. How do you pray?" And he said, "So my friend told me this." He said, "Oh, you're making it too complicated. When you want to pray, here's what you do." He said, "Pull up an empty chair. And then just picture Jesus sitting in the chair and just talk to him. Talk to him like you would a friend. Just tell him what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're struggling with, what you need. And just empty chair, picture Jesus, and talk to him." And so this guy laying in the bed says, "Mr. Manning, I've been doing this for years now. Have I been doing it wrong?" And Brennan Manning said, "No, I think that was great, great advice. Just keep doing exactly what you're doing. That's perfect." And so they finished their conversation, and Brennan Manning prayed for him and left. And a couple of days later, the daughter called him again, and she said, "Hey, Mr. Manning, I just wanted to let you know my father passed away yesterday, and he loved talking to you. It was so nice of you to do that. Thank you. And I just wanted to let you know he passed yesterday." Brennan Manning said, "Man, I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "Well, was it peaceful? How did he die?" And the daughter said, "Well, yeah, it was good." She said, it was the strangest thing. She said, "It was the morning, and I had to go out and get some groceries, and so I went in, and he was awake, and he was alert, and so I, you know, talked to him a little bit, and he made a corny joke, he always did, and I said, well, I'm going to go, I'll be right back," and went out to the grocery store. She said, "When I got back, he was dead." She said, "But the weird thing was that he had, right before he died, I guess, he had crawled out of his bed, and he died with his head on the empty chair that he always would put next to him." That's prayer. Prayer is love. It's a conversation between lovers. It's intimacy. It's a sharing of hearts. It's putting my head in my loving Father's lap. And really, when you get right down to it, if you want to understand what prayer is, you don't need a book with big words. You just need an empty chair. And you don't need really a bunch of sermons and seminars. You just need an open heart. And so I don't want to make prayer more complicated than it is, all right? And there is a sense in which it is very simple. It's very natural. It's talking to God. And it's listening for God as he wants to speak to you. Simple. Natural. However, but yet, on the other hand, there is something, we'll just be honest, there is something unnatural and not so simple about it, right? I mean, on one hand, it's simple, it's talking to God. Yet on the other hand, we're not used to talking to someone that we can't see. That's a little weird, unless you have an imaginary friend and then you've got other problems. We'll talk about some other day. And prayer is simple and it's natural. It's listening to God as he wants to speak to us. Yeah, but we're not used to listening to someone that we can't hear, right? There's something unnatural about that. And so I think there is some call for some teaching and to try to understand better what prayer is. So here's what we want to do today. I want to look at this teaching that Jesus did on prayer. And it's a really interesting thing because what happened was some of the people who knew him and knew him really well asked him how to pray. They came up to him and said, would you please teach us about prayer? And here's why I think they asked. They had gotten to spend some time with Jesus, and these people, just like us, had those questions deep down that we don't talk about. You know, they were wondering, why don't I have joy? And why is there like no peace inside of me? And how do I find meaning and fulfillment? But then they get to know this guy, Jesus. And the weird thing about him was he had those things. He had this joy. I mean, things could be going bad. He's got joy on the outside. He's got peace on the inside. And they're like, how do you do that? I mean, you should read about Jesus' life if you haven't. You'll see it. And he had purpose and he had meaning and he was fulfilled. And they're like, you are living the life I want to live. And so they watched Jesus' life, and one of the things we find about Jesus is that regularly he would get up extra early, like while it was still dark, and he would go and he would just spend tons of time with God praying. And so these friends of Jesus are like, I wonder if that could be it. Like, is it possible that the secret he has that we don't have is this prayer thing? And so they say to him, how do we pray? Would you teach us about prayer? And so I want to look at Jesus' teaching on prayer. Now before we do, oh, that ain't cool. Let me tell you this. Jesus' teaching, and what we're going to talk about today, is mostly focused on having like a time of prayer, right? Like, I'm going to take some time, and I'm just going to love God, and I'm going to pray. And that is important, but prayer is bigger than that, and this is really cool. What the Bible teaches is that prayer isn't something we should do just at like some specific time period in our day, but that prayer is something we can do throughout our day. The reason is because what the Bible teaches, and this is really good news, is that God is with us all the time. Isn't that good to know? Like you've never, you may have thought so, and you never have to think this again. You never walk into like an intimidating meeting or a hard conversation alone. Isn't that good to know that God's always with you? That you know, you've never faced a scary situation. You've never had to celebrate by yourself and just wish there was somebody there with you. No, God is always with you. And so what the Bible says is, man, we need to remember that and kind of acknowledge that, and we can just have this constant conversation with God. In fact, the Bible teaches us that over and over. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, pray continually. Not pray in the morning, not pray before meals, not pray before bed. Pray continually. And then in Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, pray on all occasions. And so it's like, pray when you're driving to work. And pray when you're taking a shower. Pray when you're cooking dinner. Pray when you're in that fight with your friend or your spouse and you're about to say, pray. Right? Pray on all occasions, which is really good news. You never are alone. And so we can just kind of just train ourselves to remember God is with me, and so I have somebody to talk to. And so there can just be kind of this undercurrent of prayer in my life that when I'm trying to figure out what to do or when I'm bored or when I'm in this conversation, this kind of on the inside, I'm like, God, what do I say here? God, what do I do? God, this is really cool. Thanks for letting me experience this. And so prayer is something we can do all the time, all right? But what we're going to talk about today is more of like how do you have a prayer time? And I think that's important too. It's kind of like in a marriage. You know, my wife and I, we talk throughout the day and we kind of have a little chit-chat throughout the day. But we also need to have time where we just sit down and talk, right? If we have the chit-chat but we don't sit down and talk, we're going to miss out on a lot of important conversations that we need to have. And so we need to do both. And Jesus' teaching is more about, in this passage, is more about like having that prayer time. So it's in Matthew 6, if you have a Bible with you today. We're going to start in verse 9, Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, you're cool. We're going to put it on the screen. And if you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free at the Welcome Center. So if you want to stop by and grab a Bible, we'd love to give you one. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. We'll stop like every verse or so and talk about it. It starts out like this. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. And I want to stop there because I want you to notice the word how. Okay, he does not say, this then is what you should pray. He says, this then is how you should pray. Big difference. If he said what, he'd be saying, these are the words you're supposed to say. This is what you should pray. But he didn't say that. He says, how? And what he's saying is, he's saying, listen, I don't want you to repeat a memorized prayer, a form prayer. I want you to pray from your heart with your words. These aren't the words to say. This isn't what to pray. This is how to pray. God doesn't want form prayers. You know what I mean? Like, you know, form letters. Don't you hate those? Anybody ever gotten a form letter where it's like addressed to you and your name's in the letter or the email, but you realize this went out to everybody. Like, this isn't just for me. Like, I know this guy. He works for an organization called Christ in Youth. They do like youth conferences and stuff like that. And he got a form letter once from the Who's Who of Christian ministry. Does anybody remember the Who's Who books, like the Who's Who of American high school students? Did anyone not make that? Because, like, you'd get this letter, and it would say, dear Vince, dear whatever your name is, it would say something like, congratulations. This year, you have a 1.1 grade point average, and you attended nearly half of the school days. We're very proud of you, and we've included you in the Who's Who of American high school students. For a price of $29.95, you can have the book, and we'll send it to you, and you'll see your name in this book. And it said, dear Vince, but you're like, I think everyone got this letter. I'm pretty sure this isn't just about me. They just switched the names, right? It's just a form letter. And so this guy who works for Christ in Youth, he realized it was a form letter because the company had made a mistake, and he knew that. It was pretty obvious because the letter he received said this. It said, dear Christ, it said, you've had another great year of Christian ministry, and we're proud of you. In fact, we're including you this year in our Who's Who of Christian ministries. Wow, that's really great of them. They included Christ. So that's not what God's looking for. And you might right now be going, oh, because that is what I do. Like maybe you were taught that by grandma or by your church growing up. Maybe you were taught kind of this recited prayer that every night before you go to bed and you still do it, you pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord. Or maybe before dinner you pray, thank you, God, for this food that's yummy. Help it get down to my tummy or something. I don't know what you learned. If you're like, oh, that is what I do, that's cool. That's not where we're going. And so you can go, okay, I've been doing that, and now I can move on to the next stage because there's something more personal and more powerful when I pray my words from my heart. So he says, this then is how you should pray. Right, these are not the words. These are kind of ideas. These are kind of things we can pray about. He says, our Father in heaven. And so he starts by kind of teaching us, and this is cool, that we can go directly to God. We can go directly to God. You don't need a go-between. You don't need a pastor, a priest. You don't need a friend. You can speak directly to God. And he also tells us what the basis of prayer is. And what it is a relationship with God as my Father. Okay? And so prayer is for the children of God. You ask, isn't like everybody a child of God? Yeah, kind of, sort of, but no, not really. In a sense, we could say, well, we're all made by God. We're all loved by God. True, true. And so aren't we all kind of children of God? Yeah, kind of. But what the Bible teaches us is that God has made an offer to everyone. It's open to everyone of adoption. The Bible talks about this a lot, that God wants to adopt you and be your parent and be your father, a lot better father than a lot of us struggled with. He wants to be this perfect, loving father for you. And if you say yes, you become his child, and he's your father, and that's the basis of prayer, that I have this loving father who wants me to talk to him. Okay? So he says, our Father in heaven, he says, hallowed be your name, which is like, what does that even mean? Basically, what that means is, God, you are special. You're unique. We're not the same. Like you're different than me. You're more special than me. And so I think what Jesus is teaching us here is, you want to know how to pray? You might want to start by praising God. Like, it's just a good place to start because it reminds you who you're praying to. Yeah, we're best friends, and yeah, this is cool, but it's even cooler because it's God, and he's special, and I have access to him. I get to talk to him. And so I would encourage you to consider that when you pray, you might want to take a minute before we dive into all the things we want and all that, to just kind of to say, God, you're special, and to praise God. Maybe what you could do is kind of pick an attribute of God. Say, you know, what I know about God? God's loving, he's compassionate, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing. Just pick one of those things and say, okay, God, you're all-powerful. That's pretty cool. And where do I see that? I see that in nature. It's amazing. And why does that matter in my life? Well, it matters in my life because I don't have to worry and I don't have to freak out about things because you got power and you're on my side. And so you kind of praise God for who he is, or you can praise him for things he's done throughout history or in your life. And so he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he says, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. When he says your kingdom, a kingdom is a group of people who have pledged allegiance to a king. Right? And so God's kingdom on earth would be the church, you know, the people who make up the believers in God. And God's kingdom in eternity would be heaven. All right? And so when he says, your kingdom come, I think part of that is praying for the church, which may be something you've never even thought about praying about. But I think he's teaching us we should pray for the church. Now, if you were here last week, and I'm sure some of you were not, but we talked about the church, and we said, man, a lot of us just have negative stereotypes about church, and we're cynical about church, and honestly, for good reason, right? Let's just be honest. But we also talked about God's real, like, his desire for the church, and the original design for the church, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so we need to pray for the church that it would live out God's desire and it would live up to God's design and that it would really be the church. And you should pray for churches as you drive by them. And you should pray for this church if you're a part of this church. You know, pray for the leaders of our church, for our staff and our ministry team leaders. Pray for the people who work with our kids and our teenagers. Pray for unity in our church, because what we're after here is creating like a family, like a community of love. And we're still a new church. We're 9 months old, and so we're still kind of meeting each other and learning each other. But that's what we want. And so just pray, man, God, make us unified. Make us really love each other. And pray for the purpose and the mission that God has for us, because that's big. Right? He's asked us to represent him and bring his love to Las Vegas. This is a big mission, and so let's pray for that. And so praying your kingdom come is praying for the church. I think it's also praying for people who have not yet pledged their allegiance to the king. You know, for people who don't yet know God and haven't yet believed in God, and saying, God, man, I know I have some friends who don't know that the answers to the questions they're wrestling with in their heart is you. And so I want to pray for them, that they would experience your love and have a relationship with you. And so we pray, your kingdom come. And then he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think what he's saying there is, you know, when you pray, the easiest thing to do pretty much in prayer is like kind of present your wish list to God, right? It's kind of like your Santa Claus list, except for we think God's real, and so maybe it's more powerful or whatever. And so we're going to present our wish list to God. I think what Jesus is saying is, you can present your wish list, and that's cool, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, but maybe what you should really ask for is God's best. Instead of just wanting your wish list, ask for God's best. Maybe what we need to acknowledge is that God is wiser than we are, knows better how life works and what we need than we do, and this is very impressive and great, loves us more than we love ourselves. And so recognizing that, I say, okay, God, here's what I want, but you know more than I do, you're smarter than I am, and you love me and want better things for me than I want for myself. So if I prayed anything that might not be best, I want your best, not what I'm asking for. A great example of this was Jesus. The night before he was crucified, we get to hear him praying and find out what he's praying. And he's looking forward to the next day where he is going to suffer the worst torture that anyone will ever go through. The scientists and doctors say that the form of death that Jesus experienced is the worst physically torturous form of death. And that's not even to mention just the spiritual torture that Jesus went through. And so Jesus is looking forward to this day, and it's really a fascinating prayer. He says, God, I don't want to do this. I do not want to. I understand it's your plan, but if there's some way that I could get out of this, I would like to get out of this. I don't want to do this. And it's just really cool. It's like, man, Jesus is just completely honest and authentic and transparent with God. But then he says, but not my will, but yours be done. He's like, God, here's my wish list. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is what I want. But I recognize your will is better than mine. And so if your will is different than that, your will be done, not my will. And so I think that's what Jesus means when he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think the other thing he's saying is, you know, as you go through your day, there are going to be times where you're faced, where you kind of have this intersection. It's like, okay, I can go this way, which really will please me and serve myself, or I can go this way, which will please God and serve others. And that happens about 7,000 times in a day. right? Just all kinds of points in conversations where you go, this is what I want to say, and that'd be good for me, but probably not what God wants. It's probably not good for you. And this is what I want to do, but it's probably not what God... And so what I've learned about me is I can't make the right choice in that moment. I'm really bad at it. And so I think when he's saying, hey, pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's saying, God, when I hit all those intersections, would you give me the strength to say the right thing and do the right thing and live in a way that pleases you and serves others rather than pleases and serves myself, right? So he says, give us today our daily bread, which is interesting because back then it actually meant something. You know, today, if you prayed, give us today our daily bread, you can kind of go, and if you don't want to answer that one, it's fine because my refrigerator is stocked. You know, I don't really need any bread today. I already have it. But if you want, you know, but back then they didn't have refrigerators, right? And so when he says pray for your daily bread, they actually that day, every day had to go out and either gather or hunt for or barter for or buy food, right? And so it's like this is a real prayer. And I think what one of the things Jesus is implying here is we need to have a daily prayer time, right? He could say, the prayer could go, give us today our weekly bread. Because I'm not going to pray for the next few days, and that way I'll be fine for the rest of the week. But he doesn't. He says, give us today our daily bread. And he's saying we need to pray every day, right? Like every day we need to recognize I have needs, and I'm dependent on God to meet those needs. And so I want to really encourage you today, like really encourage you to have a daily prayer time. Not because it's the religious thing to do. Not because it's the good Christian thing to do. Not because you can check it off your list and earn, I'm earning points with God. Right? Not because of any of that, but because you need it. And I need it. What we need to do is learn to live in dependence on God. And we need to learn to live in this daily relationship with God. And it comes through prayer. So we need to have a daily prayer time. Man, I'm telling you, if you want to change your life, okay, what you need to do is we put this this Bible study plan. It's like a daily plan through the Bible on vervecatalyst.org. And if you go there and you say, okay, every day this year I'm going to read the chapter in the Bible, and we've got some notes if you want to use those, and I'm going to spend a few minutes, I don't know, 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm going to spend enough time with God that I really get to open up my heart and share with him what's going on in my life and ask him to speak into my life. It will change your life. Because what will happen is you'll find yourself living in a relationship with God. Not just believing in God, not just going to church, but you'll have a relationship with God where he's pouring his love into you, and that's the source of joy and peace and meaning and purpose and all those things that we're looking for. He says, give us today our daily bread. And when he says daily bread, what he's saying is pray for your needs. You can present your wish list to God, right? Like you can pray for what physical needs you have. Do you need a job? Do you need money? Pray. You can ask him. What emotional needs do you have? What spiritual needs do you have? What relational, what relationships are messed up and you really need God's help? Pray for the real needs that you have. It's okay. In fact, there's a great verse in the Bible in the book of 1 Peter, and it says, cast all your cares on God because he cares for you. Isn't that great? God says there's nothing too small. A lot of people are like, I don't want to pray. I mean, like I should be praying for like world peace and stuff like that because my little stuff isn't important. It is to God. It is the guy who says, cast all your cares on me. I care, and I want to hear them. And so you can pray about anything. So he goes on. He says, forgive us our debts. And so what he's saying is, hey, part of your, you want to know how to pray. Part of your prayer time should probably be you acknowledging where you've messed up and asking God to forgive you. Now the cool thing is, if you're someone who's accepted Christ and what he did for you on the cross, you're already forgiven. Okay, it's not like this every day, if you remember to confess things, you're forgiven. If you don't, that one's staying on your record. It's not like that. God forgives you backwards, now, forwards, it's all forgiven. But still, just relationally, I might know that my wife will forgive me for whatever I've done, but it's still the right thing to do to say, hey, I blew it, will you forgive me? And so it's just the right relational thing to do. So we ask God to forgive us. And then this next part, you're going to hate. If you don't know this is in the Bible, you're going to be like, wait, hold up, seriously, that's in there? Wow, can I cross that one out because this is not cool. Listen to what he says. He says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he goes on after this prayer, if you want to read it for yourself, in verses 14 and 15. And he reiterates this saying, here's the deal. In the same way that you forgive other people, God will forgive you. And we should actually ask God to do that. We should say, God, would you please forgive me in the same way I forgive others? And that is just not cool, is it? Like, let's just be honest, because there's a lot of people probably that a lot of us have not forgiven, and we still have resentment and bitterness towards. In fact, if you're anything like me, there are probably some people that you've told you forgive. Like you said, I forgive you. But as you walked away from saying that you forgive that person, if like your friend was with you and you're walking away and your friend said, did you really, do you really forgive them? There's probably some people you'd go, right? Kinda. And there's probably some people you'd be like, no, I just said it, right? And so here's the deal. When we pray and ask God for forgiveness, what we're asking him to do is pray, is forgive us in the same way. And I'll tell you this. God tells me in the Bible that he forgives me. Okay? And what I don't want is for him to say, Vince, I forgive you. And then I walk away and like God's standing next to, I don't know, an angel. And the angel goes, did you really just forgive him? And God goes, you know, or the angel goes, did you really just forgive him? And God's like, right? That's not what I want. I want God to go, yeah, I totally forgive. Yeah, that's real. I totally forgave him. And that means I need to really totally forgive people. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you are like, you have no idea what you're asking me to do. You have no idea. Vince, you don't know what was done to me. And that's totally true. You also don't know what was done to me, but I don't know what was done to you. But I do know that you need to forgive. And I know that's hard. And I've gone through years of getting to a place where I could forgive my abusive father. I understand some. And if you're asking, well, how? Like, how do I forgive this person because what they did was wrong? And by the way, when we say forgive, we're not saying that you say, okay, it was fine. They didn't do anything wrong. No, they did something wrong. You don't say, well, it's okay. It's not okay. What they did was not okay. It's not saying, I'll forget it. No, you probably will never forget what was done to you. It's not saying, you know, we can be best friends. Maybe you shouldn't be best friends with that person. What it's saying is I give up my right to hate you. I give up my right to want revenge on you, right? Because that's what I want from God. I want him to give up his right to punish me for what I've done because I deserve punishment. And if you're asking, how do I get to that place? That's part of the answer. Part of how I get to the place where I can forgive this person is recognizing, man, God's forgiven me. And I know you're thinking, but you don't understand what that person did to me. Well, I don't know if you understand what you did to God. Like the Bible teaches us, we did a lot. And we may kind of downplay it, but in God's eyes, we've really hurt him, and he really forgave us. And so that's kind of a motivation. It's like, man, I guess I should probably treat people in the same way that God's treated me. And the other thing, if you're thinking, I can't do it, I would tell you, I totally agree. You can't do it. You're probably incapable of forgiving that person. And that's the really good thing about prayer, is that God has power that you don't have. And so he can help you to offer forgiveness to that person. Even if you could never do that, God could do that in you. And so he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he ends by saying, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I wonder what the area in your life is that you just really get stuck on. Like the temptation, the thing that you just can't get past, you can't beat. Maybe for you it's anger, pride, lust, envy, ice cream sandwiches. I don't know what it is for you. But I bet you there's something you're like, man, that's the one thing. I mean, that's the one temptation I can't say no. It's just one thing I can't beat. And do you guys remember, some of you weren't here, I realized, but a few months ago we did a series called Unstuck. And one of the biblical principles we learned in Unstuck is that to get unstuck, we need a power that we don't possess. And so it's kind of like forgiving somebody. You're not capable. If you feel like, I can't beat it. I can't stop. I can't not do it. You're right. You can't. But God can do that through you. And so that's what Jesus is teaching us. He's saying, hey, when you pray, it'd be real smart to think about those areas of temptation that you struggle with and to pray to God for the strength to get through that, to not have to deal with that temptation. And when you do, to have his power to get you unstuck so that you don't fall to those same temptations again and again. So we pray that God will help us. We also probably should be wise and do our part too. I heard about this kid, and he was saving up to buy a baseball glove. And he saved his money. And so finally, he almost has enough money for the glove. And he started praying every day the same prayer. Lord, please don't let the ice cream truck come down my street. Lord, please. And so it's kind of like, okay, we pray, but we also do our part. We don't hang around ice cream trucks, right? And so that's the end of the prayer. And it's good, man. If you want to know how to pray, that's some really good stuff to pray for and to pray about. And the deal is this, if you want that life, if you want the answers to those questions that you wrestle with and that are kind of sitting in the cracks of your heart, where do I find joy? And where do I find meaning? And how do I have peace on the inside when things are going so bad on the outside? The answer is it's found in a relationship with God. And it's found when God's love pours into our hearts and it fills all those cracks and crevices. And the way we live in that relationship and the conduit for God's love is prayer. It's prayer. So I hope you guys take this and I hope you bring it home with you and you start doing this. But we want to give you a chance tonight to start. Like maybe you didn't have a chance today to pray and maybe you haven't kind of opened your heart up to God. And so we're going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. The band's going to come up and they're going to do one last song. And during this time, we just want to invite you to take some time to pray. And just to think about what we talked about. Prayer is love. It's laying my head in my Father's lap. And so I just want to be really honest and authentic and transparent with God and just say, here's who I am right now, and here's what I'm struggling with, and here's what I need to tell you, and here's what I want to praise you for, and just be honest with God for a couple minutes. And I hope you'll start to practice this every day. Ben's going to do this song. We have not done it yet, but I think we'll keep doing it. But it's cool because it includes a lot of the words from the prayer we just looked at in the song, so I think you'll like it. During this time, we also make communion available. If you would like communion to be a part of your experience tonight, you can do that. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood. You know, we talked about how God offers us forgiveness, but he offered it at a price to himself. God gave up his right to punish me, but somebody had to take my punishment. And Jesus did that on the cross. And so with communion, with this piece of bread and this cup of juice, we remember that Jesus took my place, and we thank him, and we kind of reconnect with that. And so if you'd like to do that, you can go to the tables in the front or back with candles on them and take the bread and juice, bring them back to your seat and pray, and when you're ready, you can do that. If you're like, whoa, dude, you just went way over my head, that's fine. Just stay in your seat, listen to the song, and maybe pray. And you might be like, I can't pray. I don't even believe in God. And I'm really glad you're here, and I would encourage you to maybe pray about that. Just say, God, I don't even believe you're there, but if you're there, I guess you could prove it. Like, can you prove to me that you exist? Because if you're there, I should probably know. And so maybe you could pray that. So let's pray, and we'll let the band do the song, and we'll close out with some announcements. God, the reality is that we do struggle with those questions, and most of us don't like to talk about it. We're not that honest about it, but we want to know where life can be found. You know, we call this church Verve because Verve means like energetic, enthusiastic, effervescent life, and that's what we're all looking for, and we don't know where it is, and we search and all, and we go all down all these roads, and the answer is it's found in you. It's found in living in a relationship with you. And God, I thank you for prayer because it's how we have that relationship, that we get to go through our day just talking to you and really living in an authentic, real relationship with you, whether we can see you or hear you or not. God, thanks for prayer. And God, during these next few minutes, I pray that you would help us to pray, that you'd help us. Maybe for some of us, it'll be the first time in a long time. Maybe for some of us, it'll be the first time ever that we would just try to open up our hearts and just talk honestly with you and maybe listen to see if you want to say something deep inside to us. God, thanks for communion, just a reminder it is to us, and thanks for Jesus and for his life and for his model of being somebody who prayed a lot. We pray in his name.